Welcome to Royal Legacy, where we will explore the rich athletic history and deep family connections of BYU sports. Join us as we honor the past, celebrate the present, and look forward to the future of the BYU Cougars. Here's your host, Lauren McLean.
How's it going, everyone? I'm Lauren McLean, and welcome to Royal Legacy, where we dive deep into the family connections of BYU sports. This week, we're revisiting a past episode of another BYU sports podcast, Legends of 84, a deep dive into the 1984 championship season. Thanks for listening, and Royal Legacy will be back soon with a new episode.
This is Legends of 84, the story of BYU's remarkable national championship football team, told by the men who changed the world of college football and were forever transformed by that unforgettable season.
We knew we were going to be good. How good? Nobody knows.
I just never thought we'd lose. And each game that we won, we got more and more confident.
But once we played next to each other, we protected one another.
You're not willing to prepare, then you're not going to be ready to win.
We are a peculiar people. We need to embrace that.
Brigham Young University has won the Holiday Bowl 24-17, and the Cougars are the only undefeated team in the nation. And I think they'll be number one.
Some of the BYU staff, however, think that Baylor will be a tougher team than Pittsburgh in many ways. They have more speed, more quickness. Last year, the Baylor team had two explosive wide receivers, both of whom graduated and both of whom are playing pro football now. And so their coaches say there's a little less speed.
I was 4 years old and my older brothers were playing football, and that's how I fell in love with it. My mom loved it, and I'm a mama's boy. This is Glenn Kozlowski, wide receiver. Well, high school, I thought I was smarter than my dad, so I told him to go pound and pretty much spent time roaming the streets. Luckily, I had one of my dearest friends, Randy White. He was my quarterback in high school, and so I spent a lot of time with him living at his house. It was a nice home, too, so it wasn't bad either living there, but I was kind of crazy and a little goofy, and you know, I kind of lived life the way I wanted to. I was recruited by everybody, and we had a guy, Mel Galley, that came from Logan, Utah. Of all places, he had come up with this new passing game and nobody knew how to defend it. So I was going to be a free safety. Well, our quarterbacks were so bad that they were throwing everything and I was catching it as a free safety. So he goes, you get over here. So I started, put me on offense and I ran around and he goes, you're going to stay here and you get to play safety. So that's how it went. I still think I have the record for most yards in a season in California, and at least in San Diego.
Bosco on second down, straight back to throw. Only a three-man rush. Out on the flat, it's complete. Oh, great hard hit.
My mom was LDS. My dad, in the beginning, was Catholic. And then he converted, and he's really our pioneer in our family. But I was one of those stubborn kids. And when I went to BYU, and it was one of the last trips I took, I was really a cocky kid looking at LaBelle. So what's the deal? He goes, what do you mean, what's the deal? I said, what are you going to do for him? He goes, well, I'm going to give you a scholarship. You're going to have to work hard, you get a free education, and you'll get a chance to start. And I said, okay, that sounds good to me. In high school, my senior year, so I was 5 credit hours short. But I wanted to go to spring ball. My principal, this is what a wonderful kid I was, she said, if you go to BYU, we'll give you the last 5 credits and you graduate. So they just said, just please leave. So that's how I ended up there.
Bosco rolling out, looking to the left, sets up, throws way downfield, and it is caught for a touchdown. Great catch. Hey, that was a sensational catch in the end zone.
I was in the dorms, I think, for a month before they barred me. I was asked to leave at the end of my freshman season, which was the best thing that ever happened to me because I was going to transfer. My brother was playing for the Dolphins at the time, and University of Miami was just starting to take off, and so they wanted me to go there. And so I just met this little blonde girl from California named Julie Anderson, and I said, hey, you want to go with me? We could go to Miami. And she looked at me, and she said, why don't you be a man and fix what you've done here? And I just looked at her, and I'm like, be a man. We could go here and do this. And then I thought about it and I said, she's right. I need to fix it and make it right. She's now my wife and we're on year 43. I had to go and make it right. Number one, I had to actually attend school. Number two, I had to stop drinking and acting like a complete moron. And number three, I just had to be a good citizen. It wasn't necessarily something I was comfortable with, but I figured it out. LaBelle was kind to me. Norm Chow was the one that really recruited me. I love Norm to this day. He's like my father. He's been wonderful. Lavelle really was a father figure for all of us.
One thing Bader does have is speed, and Broderick Sargent, their junior fullback, had a good run that time.
Lavelle was a guy that was just honest, and he was a little quirky, like me and McMahon and all the other goofs that came in during that time, but he would help us get on the right path. And ultimately now, as a guy that is LDS and strong in the faith, he was giving me a priesthood interview every time I'd walk in. I had no idea then. Once I became the Elders Corps president and all the different positions I served in, then I got, oh, this is what he really was doing. But he really taught us how to be men. And for me personally, he was always fair, but was stern about, hey, you can't do that. Okay, I get it, and I'll try to do better. Well, he's a guy that I'd have done anything for. But going into 84, everybody underestimated us. I think we were picked to finish fifth in the Western Athletic Conference. So everybody was ahead of us as probably the only true starter coming back besides some of our O-linemen and a couple of D-linemen. So it was a bunch of unknowns. And all of these guys, though, we all went to school together. You know, we came in 81. So this was the 81 team now progressing to 84. We had a lot of guys that just had big chips on their shoulder. We were angry at the world. We wanted to prove that we were the best. And we'd have played anybody, anywhere, anytime. Parking lots, Albertsons, we don't care. We want to play you.
Bosco back to throw. Good protection. May run the ball himself. Now passes it over to Smith. Smith to the 45, to the 50, down to the 40, down to the 30, down to the 20, down to the 10-yard line. Hey, what a big play for BYU.
In the summer, Dave Mills and I started running together. Then other guys started joining us running at nights and lifting and doing things that I never really liked to do before then. So now I'm into exercise and preparing for what we knew was coming up. And when I knew we were good is I thought we were pretty good on offense. In spring ball, the first two scrimmages, we didn't get a first down. And I was getting so mad at Robbie and everyone else. Just throw me the ball already. I don't care. Just throw it to me. I'll get the first down. And then we figured it out. So I think at first, I think Robbie would say he wasn't sure that we were very good because we couldn't get first downs against our defense. And when we played Pitt, it's like, wow, our defense is that good. And we might be pretty special.
Mickey will throw out of the end zone. It's batted in the air. Incomplete. Kurt Gavea, I think, got his hand on it. The ball was sitting high in the air. A couple of BYU players chasing it. And that BYU defense is getting tough.
I'd broken my elbow because I was goofing around. And I was on a slide right before two-a-days. And so I had to ice it for 2 days and pretend like it happened in our first two-a-day practice. And what I did is I picked a fight with Jeff Sprouls, who was a kid that had come in, a junior college kid, on the first play. And then I got up and said, oh, my elbow hurts. You know, something's wrong. So the x-ray and it was broken. So I was wearing a cast, and then they would cut it off, and then they would shoot it up, and then we'd play. So that game against Pitt in the first half, they hit a nerve. And so my left hand was completely numb. So you could see me sometimes catching the ball with my right hand open and my left hand turned back, just kind of squeezing the ball because I had no control over my stupid left arm for a bit. But by halftime, it all settled in.
Kozlowski motion to the left side for BYU. Bosco to throw, does throw. Kozlowski has it. He might score. He does. Kozlowski caught it at the
midway through the season. I hear little rumors where Koz is trying to do something against me. So he's telling everybody, let's just ignore Robbie. Don't look at him, don't talk to him, and we'll see how he handles it. So David Mills, who's our tight end, we're walking to practice together, and he goes, just to warn you, Koz is going to try one of his little fanatican things and trying to be real funny. So he's going to try to ignore you. He's trying to get everybody to be on his side. So I go, oh, that's cool. So we would run plays. I wouldn't throw the ball to Koz. We ran a little play action, and Koz breaks out. He's wide open. There isn't a soul within 40 feet of him. I do a little pump fake to him, just run it myself. As I get back in the huddle, Norm goes, like, what are you doing? He goes, I'll throw it to him in the game. But right now, I'm going to punk Koz because he's trying to punk me on this thing. So don't worry about it. I got him. The whole practice, I never threw him the ball one time. After practice, walking back to the locker room, he goes, okay, I'm sorry. I won't do that again to you. He goes, that's right, you won't do that to me because you won't have very much fun playing if you don't have me throwing the ball to you. I love Glenn Kozlowski.
Craig Garrick and I, and I was voted a captain. With it came responsibility, and I took it seriously. Craig and I started talking about Pitt being ranked number three, and that's where the plan came about. That, hey, if we beat Pitt and they're ranked number three, and then we get Baylor, who we lost to the year before, we felt like with the WAC and our schedule, if we went undefeated, they had to give us a shot at a national championship. What happened in 84 was, because I was the only guy with experience, I got to choose when I would come out. Adam and Mark would rotate in, and then I could stay in as long as I wanted. And so what I wanted to do was always get the ball.
We had very selfish receivers. Cause always wanted to be the show.
We would fight all the time, and bless Mark's heart, he was a young kid, and he was nervous, you know, and he really didn't know what to do. And I'm like, hey, you're X. And finally he took a stand, and I was really proud of him because he took a stand, and we were both standing there at the exposition, and Robbie's looking at us. We were playing Tulsa, and he goes, what are you two idiots doing? And I go, he's in my spot. And Mark's like, no, he's in my spot.
This is Mark Bellini, wide receiver. A play was called in the huddle, and Cos looks over at me and goes, okay, I got Z. And I just said, nope, I got it. And he looks at me like, what do you mean you got it? I'm like, I got it.
I told him later as we talked about it, I said, you know what, Mark, I taught you how to be selfish, but also how to be a team player. And what I loved most about the 84 team, every one of us thought that we could make the play. And that's what made us unique.
Bosco back in the pocket again. He will throw. Throws over the middle. Hey, Mooley.
The rivalry with Utah, I think the closest game was 84, where we went up there. They came out in red. They had all kinds of goofy things going on. And Robbie would throw a pass to me. I'd catch it. And that was probably a game where I caught. Majority of my passes were third or fourth down catches in that game, which moved the sticks. And then, of course, you know, we ended up beating them. And I just never thought we'd lose, to be honest with you. And none of us did. And people would say, did you feel pressure? And I'm like, no, there was no pressure. We knew we were good. And each game that we won, we got more and more confident.
Third and 11. Bosco looking downfield, throwing, got a man open at the 40-yard line.
So we're the guys that wrecked the college system because we went undefeated. We'd beaten a number three team. And then Baylor, I think, was ranked in the top 15 at the time. And we throttled them. We were beating everybody to death. We would go out there. We'd physically handle you. Sometimes we would be behind, but we always knew we were going to win the game. I don't think one time in the huddle did I ever worry that we were going to lose the game. We just knew we were going to win it.
The pass is batted in the air and intercepted by Brigham Young.
We just loved each other. And we weren't going to lose. I look at it now and I look at what it did for the church. And again, if you're not religious, that's okay. But I'm going to share with you my heart. And my heart is that this was something that we were supposed to be there at that time. Lavelle, I don't know how he managed all of us knuckleheads, honestly. And Norm did too. But you know what? We were there for a reason and a purpose. And we all fulfilled it. I mean, it was really an enjoyable deal. And you know what? You don't forget people. And you love each other.
Robbie Bosco at quarterback for Brigham Young. Over the middle, complete to the 35-yard line, down to the 30-yard line, to the 25, and knocked out of bounds inside the 25-yard line is Glenn Kozlowski.
My legacy is that I believe in God and that I know that he's my redeemer, and my brother Jesus died on the cross. And I think of my own sins, and I'm grateful that I had somebody strong enough to do that. And the plan of salvation, being able to return back to our Heavenly Father, there's nothing better. Honestly, there isn't.
Bosco at quarterback, Baxter split, drops back in the pocket, has great protection, throws over the middle. This one is caught by Bellini across the 45 to the 43-yard line.
I started to love football when I was very young, and it's mainly just like watching like the old NFL game film. This is Mark Bellini, wide receiver. When I was really young, I just wanted to be, mainly wanted to be a running back. I wanted to get the ball. I wanted to run, break tackles, and score touchdowns.
Bosco back to throw. Good pass protection. Throws it over the middle. Completes it to Bellini at the 33-yard line. So Bellini making a nice catch in traffic.
Football is really hard, especially when you're young. You're a kid, and man, and our coaches were really demanding. I remember just coming home from two-a-day practices as a 12-year-old and just being exhausted and just being sore. On the one hand, it was really, really hard and difficult, and part of you hated it, but another part of me really loved it. So it was like, I really wanted to be good, and I knew I had to go through this difficulty to get there. And I think like that's been a good hallmark for me as a person in general. Like I think that's one of the lessons that football teaches you, even from a young age. I learned that if you want to be good, it's going to be hard.
Bosco back to throw. Good pass protection. Throws it over the middle. Completes it to Bellini at the 33-yard line. So Bellini making a nice catch.
My high school coach is a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The only member of that church that I've ever known. I had, up to that point, my senior year rolls around. I had a great senior year. I made all conference both ways on defense and offense. I was a running back and a defensive back, and never played wide receiver before in my life. My high school coach, he got me a tryout to come to BYU and walk on, and I started to realize, based upon my size, if I was going to play college football, and I liked offense, I didn't want to play defense. Totally offensive-minded person. So I go, well, it's time for me to start learning how to play wide receiver. And then I get this opportunity to come walk on to BYU, which at the time is throwing the ball more than any team ever. No one had ever thrown the ball like BYU. And I thought, this is too good to be true.
Brigham Young, second and 36 on their own 29-yard line. Kozlowski in motion back towards the line of scrimmage. Back to throw is Bosco. Throws for the sidelines, completes it to Bellini. Bellini's up to the 40-yard line.
I had great parents. I had a great family. My mother just passed away a year ago, almost to the day. So she was the greatest person I'd ever known. I can't hardly talk about my mother without getting emotional. She was just a great mom. But she wasn't particularly religious, but she decided at some point when we were growing up that we needed to be exposed to some kind of religion. I didn't get a ton out of it until one of the last days that we went there. Our Sunday school teacher in this class is going to be his last day teaching us because he's going to be moving and he's not going to be going away. And then he started getting really sentimental and emotional. He just told us that he loved us, and they started crying. And then he challenged us to go home and ask God to come into our lives, like get on our knees and pray and ask God to come into our lives. I was really impressed that this guy was willing to do this and be this vulnerable. I decided to take him up on it, and I go, okay, I'm going to do what this guy asked me to do. And so I went home, got down on my knees, and made sure I was alone, no one was around, and I asked God to come into my life. In my young mind, I expected some bolts of lightning to come down through the ceiling, or God to appear to me in my room, or an angel, or some big dramatic thing to happen, and nothing like that happened. I was really discouraged by this, and it made me question if there was a God, or so what's going on with this. It got my mind to become more curious about this, about God and who he was. Even though I was discouraged by the experience, I continued to pray. And I developed this pattern when I was in high school where I would pray every night, whatever was going on in my young mind at that time. I was kind of a normal high school kid back then. We would go out on Friday night and drink beer and whatever and goof around and do dumb stuff that high school kids do. I'd come home, I'd be drunk, my head would be spinning on the pillow. I would still pray. I would still pray. I look back on it now, and I can see how that led me, even though I didn't feel like I got an answer, it led me to BYU. And I can see like the hand of God working in my life. He didn't show me who he was or expose himself to me at that point. He led me to a place where I could be fully understanding of who he was. Heavenly Father is going to answer your prayers in his own way, not the way that you expect it. It wasn't the way I expected it. It was better. Sometimes it takes years to look back to see the hand of God working in your life. In 1984, before the season started, we had a meeting on campus with just the offensive players. It was just the skilled position players, receivers, quarterbacks, running backs. And I remember Coach Chow comes in front of the meeting, and he's just got this serious demeanor about him. And he's like, guys, in 5 weeks, we're going to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's ranked number 3. We're going to win the game. If you don't want to be a part of that, for the next 5 weeks, we're going to kill ourselves. You're going to run. You're going to work harder than you've ever worked. It's not going to be easy. And at the end of it, we're going to be good enough to go there and win. If you don't want to be part of that for the next 5 weeks, I want you to get up and walk out. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the starting quarterback. I don't care if you're the starting receivers. If you're not willing to pay the price the next 5 weeks to beat Pittsburgh, get up and walk out of this room right now. He just sat there and didn't say a word for, it seemed like a minute, and like he was just silent. And then he gets back up and says, okay, get ready, because we're going to bust our butts, and we're going to go to Pittsburgh, and we're going to win. I remember thinking to myself, I'm in. I'm going to go. And I'm going to run. I'm going to get in the best shape of my life. I'm going to hit. I'm going to be sore. I'm going to get hurt. I'm going to get better, but I'm in. And I think we all felt the same way. Every guy in there was just like, we're in. Here I am at BYU. I'm not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I don't know much about it, but I'm surrounded by people that is definitely, it's the center of many of their lives. It makes me start thinking that maybe I need to figure out what God means to me. My parents were technically, at that point, Catholic. I decided that I would attend the Catholic Church when I was at BYU. It was in downtown Provo. I'd go there on Sunday, and I just started learning about religion. It got my mind interested in religion in general, Christianity, even other religions. I wanted to keep an open mind to all of it. Fast forward, things are progressing for me at BYU. I did really, really well immediately on the football field. Exceeded my own expectations. Even as a freshman, I'd been there for maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And they called me up to play on the varsity team. I remember Norm Chow comes down. He goes, hey, Bellini, come with me. So I come over there my freshman year. I'm there. I mean, it's just happening really fast. Fast forward to 1984. I make the starting lineup. This is my third year now at BYU. And here we are on this championship team. I decided to take the Book of Mormon class that very semester. When you go to BYU, they make you take the Book of Mormon class to graduate. Even if you're not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you still have to take the class. During the season, here we are, we're playing our games. We're playing the game on Saturday. On Tuesday, I'm in the Book of Mormon class. And on Thursday, I'm in the Book of Mormon class. And during the week, I'm reading it so that I can pass the tests initially. At some point during the season, I start thinking, wow, this book is really amazing. I didn't know anything about Joseph Smith. Or I didn't know like how it came about. But I'm just going, wait, who wrote this book? This is a really complex book, full of all kinds of deeply religious doctrines and histories and just a profound piece of literature. And this book really seemed like it came from God to me. By the time the season started coming to an end, I'd pretty much gained a testimony of the Book of Mormon. So the end of the season rolls around. We're ranked number one. We're declared the national champions. And here I am sitting on my testimony of the Book of Mormon. It's hard to join the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, even when you know it's true. Because what's your family going to say? What are your friends going to say? I've got to deal with that somehow. And I knew it was going to be hard, but I needed like a push to get me in. I'd come to know my religion professor pretty well over the course of the semester. After class, he talked to me and asked me what I was thinking and how I was doing and what I was thinking about the Book of Mormon and so on. And he was just a great, great guy. His name was John Fugel. He was a very humble man. I was walking on campus, and it was like a really cold morning, one of those freezing mornings in Utah. My hair was frozen, I think, walking to class at like 8 o'clock in the morning, and I bumped into him on campus. We were right underneath the Kimball Tower. There was a banner up there that said, BYU 1984 National Champions. I bumped into him right there underneath the tower, and he points up and says, wow, you guys really did an amazing thing with that team this year. And I said, yeah, and we started talking, and we talked for a minute. And as we were leaving, he pointed up to the banner up there on the top, and he goes, I know something that can make you feel much better than that. And then he looks me straight in the eyes, and he says, you call me when you're ready. And I said, okay. A few weeks later, I called him and I said, I'm pretty convinced that it's true and I think I want to join the church. He said, great. He lined up a baptism, and then within a month, we had it all lined up and we went over and I was baptized on campus. There's a font there. Coach Edwards was there. Norm Chow was there. Some of my best friends were there. It was a small group, maybe 20 people. Got baptized. Lavelle spoke. Told me that being a member of the church was the hardest thing I would ever do. I thought, well, that's a curiosity. Why? It didn't seem like it's that hard. But it is. It's challenging to be a member of the church and to do it right. I understand now what he meant when he said that. It's been well worth it. I loved every minute of being part of that team. Anything worthwhile is going to be hard. Those lessons that I've learned from that team and just being a football player in general has definitely served me well in my life. Get to work. Stop complaining. Push ahead. Don't let setbacks crush you. Keep fighting. Keep going. And I think if you do that, you come out on top. God plays the long game. Sometimes we play the short game. There's this quote that Elder Uchtdorf said in General Conference. It's always stuck with me. He's like, sometimes people plant a seed of corn in the morning and they want corn on the cob by the afternoon. Something like that. I thought that was a great quote. And I think it's true. I remember in my early teens when I prayed to God to know who He was. He didn't answer my prayer for probably another 5 years. And at the time, I didn't understand that. Now I do. Heavenly Father is going to take care of you one way or another. It's going to work out.
Coming up next episode.
He fumbled the football. Emily was inside the 10-yard line. And it's fumbled and turned over to Tulsa.
Take my shoe off and I missiled this football. It like shot out of a cannon. I could not believe the impact. That's how I became a shoeless wonder.
We were freshmen and saw Jim McMahon and the rest of the leaders on that team get punched in the mouth and regroup and be resilient and score 22 points in under 4 minutes.
Thank you for listening to Legends of 84. This podcast series was produced by Eric Michael Robertson and Scott Christofferson with Bree Ray Alpew as associate producer. Music by Stuart Maxfield and Eric Michael Robertson. Legends of 84 is a production of BYU Radio.